Hi everyone, welcome back to Social Anxiety Life, the podcast, episode 13. This week we're going to continue our discussion around the role of small talk as a bridge for deeper and more meaningful connections. We hope you enjoy the episode and make sure to follow our podcast so you can get notifications of new episodes. Enjoy!
I think with small talk, there's the point that sometimes it can inadvertently exclude other people. Like if the topic is something that you know nothing about or you have no interest in, that can be very difficult. And maybe people who are not introverted or don't have social anxiety would be fine with that because they would just quite happily listen. But when you have the social anxiety, you think, right, I'm listening, but I should be saying something. And I've been really quiet and they're going to start thinking this and that and the other.
This very much links to mood. I think the mood that you're in the social event. And this brings us on to some wonderful contributions we've had from listeners.
Yes.
And one anonymous listener says that the whole concept of small talk and in social situation, it depends upon their mood at the time.
Yeah.
And the impact of the mood on your ability to engage in small talk is an interesting one, because before the event, that's when the anxiety happens the most, I think. Yeah. You've got so much there before it happens. You've overthought it. You continue to overthink it. And I think quite strongly your mood will affect your willingness and also affect your comfort in initiating or participating in small talk.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, because I think if you go into a situation and you maybe are already feeling very anxious or maybe feeling very tired, things like that can massively affect your ability to engage in that small talk.
I think it's human nature that your mood fluctuates. And if your mood fluctuates, it can make the small talk easier or more challenging. So you've gone into the event and, you know, you sort of have to work out, you know, even like, where do you put your coat? Where do I go and get a drink from? Where do I go? What do I do? It's really hard. It's really hard. And to have to navigate the small talk when your mood is already fluctuating is a really difficult one.
Yeah, and I think that's where you made a sort of point towards this earlier about, in that situation, what do you do? Is it more important to sort of push through your bad mood or push through your difficulties and sort of almost fake it? Or is it better to avoid the small talk? And that's quite a difficult question probably to answer as well.
I think it's a personal one. It's a personal mood, a personal feeling of how you are in that social situation. Another quote that's coming from one of our listeners, from Jackie.
Yeah.
She says that she's not confident in doing small talk with people I don't know. Now that's, yeah, I can,
yeah.
I'm with you on that one, Jackie.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the issue of confidence and social anxiety, they're very interlinked. And, you know, lack of confidence, I think, will affect your ability to engage in small talk.
Yeah.
You know, there are some people who walk into the places and they have that air of confidence. Yeah. They're like, yeah, I'm here. You're lucky to have me here. Yeah. But I don't have that at all, because I think that's a bit,
yeah,
is that a bit over the top, or is it a bit, I don't know.
I think some people are just naturally like that, but I don't think either of us can really relate to that, because we are so opposite to that in those kind of situations. But I mean, that kind of is interesting as well, because I think the small talk, you're talking about like confidence, and you get those people that just walk in, and I think that affects it as well. If you're in a room full of extroverts or a room full of people who just love to talk, it's going to make small talk so much harder for people like us.
You know, some people might say that there's that, and I don't particularly want to say this word, but you know, the issue, the technique of having icebreakers.
Oh, I hate that word.
You know, icebreakers People say that you should have icebreaker questions or techniques that help people initiate small talk. I don't agree with that at all. I find icebreakers heighten the anxiety more.
Yeah.
Because if you're at a like training event and you're asked, you know, you're asked something like, oh, say something interesting about yourself.
Oh, I hate that.
That's
question.
Too open-ended for me.
Yeah.
I'd rather they ask like a closed question, like how did you get here today?
Yeah.
Because I'd know the answer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love it when they ask a question like, you know, what? Tell us your name and where, what you do for a job. You know, that's fine. As you said, when they say, tell us one really interesting thing about yourself, immediately that just kicks off your anxiety because you're thinking, what's everyone else going to say? What am I going to say? Yeah, I don't enjoy icebreakers.
I also think with things like that, if you have to go to those events or you decide to go, you've got to be kind on yourself.
Oh,
you've got to be
absolutely.
Very kind to yourself. I think, you know, you've got to go in with your toolkit of stuff. You know, I have my lanyard that says I have anxiety. It's in your face, as it were. Having access to your outside area and doing what you need to do. And, you know, that feeling of like, if you need to go.
Yeah.
It's like you've got to think the other people, it doesn't matter what they're thinking.
Yeah.
Because they don't know.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you tell them.
Yeah.
Perhaps actually.
You'd get a bit of understanding.
You would maybe. Get bad understanding.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how it sounds, but sometimes when I do certain social things afterwards, I will just sort of almost internally do a little sort of, well done, you went to it, like
yeah.
you did it. Even if it didn't really go well, even if I found it really difficult, I'll just acknowledge to myself the fact that, well, you did it. And that in itself is an achievement. So
another quote we've had from one of our listeners, from Sheila, says that she likes small talk and she likes getting to know new people. She also adds to that that getting older has brought her more confidence.
I love that.
Isn't that good? That's a really nice thing to say. And there's, you know, there's a thing to be said about small talk having a pivotal role in building connections and getting to know people. And there's a role there for it to enhance relationships. So there is a positive side to it.
Yeah.
And it also made me think of maybe small talk is some people's way of alleviating their anxiety.
Yeah.
For us, we're saying that small talk does create anxiety, but for some people, it's their way of eliminating it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, you know, when you ask, you know, what's the weather like, how'd you get here and whatever, it gives them, that's a question that you're probably going to get an answer to. So
yeah.
Maybe then the confidence in those social situations can be developed over time.
Yeah. And actually the fact that she said she likes getting to know new people, and I sort of thought, well, actually, in some ways I do. I do like meeting new people. I just can find it very challenging. But that was nice to hear that it's almost like the confidence has come with time, and maybe the more you engage in the small talk, the easier it gets over time.
Another anonymous listener said that they prefer meaningful conversations over small talk, and they actually added to that they think that the small talk itself is meaningless to them.
Right.
So they draw a very, very clear and distinct comparison between the two different types of conversation. And I think for me, we just talked about connection. The deep and meaningful conversation is my way of forming the deeper connection.
Yeah.
You know, if I can talk to someone at length about, what some of my interests, you know, like tube, train, buses, teaching, etc., then we're there.
Yeah. But then I suppose, is there that argument that small talk is almost an entry point to those deeper discussions? Because you're not going to meet someone and immediately go into, you know, trying to think back to when we first met. I'm sure there was a certain amount of small talk between us that happened. So it's almost, does that small talk need to happen in order for those deeper conversations then to develop?
But then how can you communicate your preference?
Yes.
Because, you know, I've said what my preference is.
Yeah.
what am I going to say? I'm going to say to people, well, actually, I don't want to hear about that. Let's just get to the deep stuff.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to come across as dismissive.
Yeah, you don't, and you worry that then you would come across as rude because you're not wanting to speak to someone about their day or how their lunch was.
Or maybe it's got to a point where you just don't care.
Maybe.
You just say it.
Maybe that's the way to be.
Yeah, but then you come across, well, then it's also you come across as, yeah, as, you know, you're boasting, you're brash, you're, yeah, full on.
Yes, it's a really hard one.
I really liked the balance of the contributions we had from listeners there. It was a really nice mixture. And building on from that, there's some research that we looked at, and we'll put the quote in to the notes from the podcast. And, you know, people with social anxiety, they blame themselves a lot. They blame themselves when conversations become difficult. So the reason that I'm not feeling good about the situation is because I'm not good at,
yeah,
this, which I get completely. And building on from that, the actual informal conversation, which small talk is very complex and involves very intricate interactions, like we've said before. And it almost comes across that for a lot of people, small talk creates big problems.
Yeah.
And people underestimate the awkwardness of the small talk because, you know, I fidget quite a lot. I put my hands all over the place. So I must seem quite in the right state sometimes, but it's just, you know, it's just the way it is.
Yeah. I mean, I think to sort of start wrapping up and kind of thinking about everything we've talked about today, it's very clear that small talk definitely affects and links quite strongly to social anxiety in lots of different ways. And that if you are more on the introverted side, it can be actually quite, at times, quite an uncomfortable thing to have to experience. It can create a lot of anxiety and it can be very difficult, even though it feels like a very necessary part of social interaction and sort of building relationships and building friendships.
Yeah, it's developing those faking it strategies without, yeah, coming across as faking it.
Yeah.
To navigate those challenging moments. Because I think people ultimately, they want to feel validated in what they're saying. We're not saying that one type of conversation is more important than the others, but it's just our preferred.
What you're comfortable style. With.
That's, yeah, right. I think small talk is always going to be a personal preference, or you've got personal views on it. And we'd really like to hear more of what you think about small talk and its role and how you feel about it. So we invite you to email us at socialanxietylife2023@gmail.com, all lowercase, and let us know your thoughts, and you could be featured on a future episode. And if you also enjoyed listening to this episode, on our Spotify page there is a particular question that says, what did you enjoy most about this episode? It'd be really useful to hear what you liked about this episode.
Absolutely. And thank you to everyone who continues to listen and support the podcast. We're really grateful.